Well, our topic this morning is one that should probably be studied every year, possibly every week, by Christians. Suffering. The Bible says that in this world we will have suffering. Our epistle lesson, which is our text this morning, tells us, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. The same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Suffering, Peter explains, is for both Christian and non-Christian. The suffering of the non-Christian, is, and sometimes us Christians too, is because we've done things wrong and we have the consequences to deal with it, or they have the consequences to deal with it. But there is also suffering that comes to all people, good, bad, Christian, non-Christian. One of my favorite passages is one that I came across a few years ago in Ecclesiastes 9:11. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. Now, to be sure, there are times and people who are runners and they're fighters and they're educated and they're knowledgeable and they are successful, but not always. Sometimes we face suffering we don't face all the joys of success. You could add your own experiences of sufferings, right? The conflicts, the health issues, what financial struggles maybe for some of you, whatever, either for yourself, for your family, for your friends, and you're involved to some extent in that suffering. We, as Christians, are not immune to suffering. Peter, in his epistle to the early church, offers insight and teaching on how we, as Christians, are to deal with suffering. He says there, as I indicated, there's suffering of the non-Christian, like the meddler and the murderer and the thief. They get the consequence of their wrongful deeds, and that is suffering. He points out that suffering is even deserved in some of those cases. But our focus today is in the suffering as a Christian, and I'd just like to say human suffering for one reason or another. Viktor Frankl, a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp, wrote a book, Man's Search for Meaning. And in that book, he shares his insight for dealing with suffering. He says, everything can be taken from a person, but one thing, the last of all human freedoms, the freedom to choose. Every person can choose how they will face the troubles of life. We have the power to choose our attitude in any given set of circumstances. In other words, we can be defeated by our suffering, or we can deal with it and go on and even overcome it. And that's my hope for us today, that we might be strengthened in our resolve to face suffering, to deal with it, and overcome it with the help of God. The first point for our consideration is that we're not alone in our suffering. Others have faced suffering. Others are dealing with suffering now. Someone said misery loves company. Sometimes that means to be comforted by just knowing that others are suffering too. Sometimes it means to be comforted with someone to listen to us in our particular kind or situation of suffering. Peter simply says, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. Christians are not exempt from suffering. In the Bible, we hear from many who face troubles in their lives, from Noah to Moses, the prophets of the Old Testament, the apostles of the New Testament, even Jesus, our Savior, the very Son of God, a perfect human being on this earth, faced suffering. Martin Luther, of course, after whom our Lutheran church is named, faced many personal struggles. And listen to what he once said, and maybe some of you can identify. I have passed through unspeakable trials, trials in which no creature was able to counsel me. I have passed through trials of such a nature that I thought no one on earth had them before. I have at times thought that I endured temptations just as great, just as grievous, and just as manifold as did St. Paul. There would never have been any remedy and advice for difficulties so great, for temptations so grievous, if Christ had not come to open the Bible to me and to advise and comfort me with his word. And God, that same God, that same Bible, that same Spirit comforts and advises us as Luther in our suffering. No matter how difficult it may be, we are not alone. Secondly, God promises hope through the journey of suffering. Hope is so important when facing problems, huh? Viktor Frankl, in his concentration camp experience, says that it was the hope of some prisoners that helped them to persevere and go on and get through it. Those that didn't have hope died. They gave up. The same is true for Christians. Hope in our struggle gives us perseverance and strength to survive, to go on. Peter, in our text, uses a different word for hope when he talks about reaching or obtaining eternal life with Jesus. He uses the word rejoice. And it's chapter 4, verse 13, and I'd like to ask for you to turn to or grab your bulletin if you have one, it might be a little hard to read, but on the back side, those words are given. I don't think we have them on the screen. Could you get back to those words? Okay. 4:13, it's part of the epistle reading. And we can pull them up from there. There they are. Okay. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Oh, wow. Rejoice. Hope. They're connected, aren't they, for us, as they were for Peter. Yes, we participate in the sufferings of Christ. As the bulletin cover indicates, a little different word, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed, it says there. And I also believe, my mother-in-law agreed with this when I discussed it with her as she was having a procedure, medical procedure in Wichita recently, that suffering isn't only as a Christian, but suffering as a human being. When we accept that, with faith in Jesus. Thirdly, hope. Now our third and final point, perseverance and survival in our suffering has to do with Christ's presence with us. That's why we rejoice and hope. That's why we know we're not alone. I'd like to share an illustration. In Genoa, Italy, after World War II, it was after World War II, a statue, 8-ton statue was commissioned, and it was a statue of Christ. And it wasn't put on a hill overlooking a city, as maybe sometimes we've seen. But this 8-ton statue of Christ was put in the bay in Genoa, Italy, where the ships had gone down, where people had lost their lives. And the name, phrase of this particular statue, the Christ of the Deep. And I like that illustration because the Christ of the deep is who's with us. Jesus from the cross of Calvary has come down to be in the depth with us. Maybe that'll help you to remember. He's with us in our suffering and even promises to be with us in that severest trial, trouble, suffering of all, namely as we face death. I am with you always to the end of the age. And after that waiting, we get that glorious gift of eternal life, don't we? Peter writes, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of peace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." So Jesus is not only with us in our suffering here on this earth, but he's with us in heaven where we will have no more suffering. Let me close with the example of a great servant of the church by the name of Norman Nagel. He was a prolific writer of books and articles, and he taught at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. But in 2019, that all changed. 2016, actually. He died in 2019. What happened in 2016 is he suffered a stroke. He was no longer able to write, to preach, to teach. He was in a wheelchair, dependent on his wife to move around. What a tragic and huge reversal of circumstances in his life. And yet, you know what he said? He said, "The Lord must intend some blessing in this." Will you repeat those words after me? "The Lord must intend some blessing in this." What a powerful testimony of faith, huh? Maybe we can think of that next time we're dealing with some particular suffering. The Lord must intend some blessing in this. And yes, because of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, we know there ultimately is blessing. All things work for good to those who love God, and ultimate blessing of eternal life in heaven. Today's gospel reading, Jesus prays not only for his disciples and their protection and well-being, but he prays for all those who are followers, believers in Jesus as the Son of God from that day until Jesus returns to this earth. He prays for us when he says, "I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me." Now that would have been first the disciples, "for they are yours." But then he says, all, I think that includes us, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus, God's Son and our Savior, ask our Heavenly Father to be with us, to protect us, to care for us in our suffering. He will be our strength, our guide, and our unity through our suffering on this earth until we reach heaven. Amen. And the people of God said, Amen.